A Rayo Original Podcast.
Don't worry if it's bad news. Nicola will tell you something to do about it.
Because if it's bad news, I'll start drinking and vaping.
Okay, well, we don't want that. Are you ready for us to reveal your biological age?
Yeah.
Vogue Williams, your chronological age is 40. Your biological age is... This is What's My Age Again, where your body story meets your birth certificate. My guest today is Vogue Williams, presenter, podcaster, DJ, fitness fanatic, mom of three, and the woman who somehow keeps multiple podcasts, businesses, and a household running at full tilt without missing a beat. She's open about anxiety and panic attacks, but also about training, supplements, and finding balance in a chaotic life. Today, we ask the question everyone wants answered. In a life this full, is Vogue Williams aging faster, slower, or somewhere entirely unexpected? I've got her blood, and today we're finding out just how old Vogue Williams is on the inside. Welcome, Vogue, to What's My Age Again.
I'm scared.
You should be scared. I mean, why did you give us your blood?
I know. Do you know what? Because I was like, I was obviously quite confident about it that day, but I do kind of go on about, I don't drink that much. And like, if my age is high, I'm going out to get myself a half bottle of vodka, Red Bull, and a vape.
Well, you should, because our first guest ever on Series 1 was Joanne McNally. And we know that she drives it like it's stolen.
Yeah.
And her biological age was 20.
I honestly was so disgusted. I was like, how dare she? She doesn't deserve that at all. And she knows she doesn't deserve it.
But you look at her and
she looks good as well.
Just bulletproof though. Like you feel that it wouldn't touch her. She'd be drinking on a Sunday evening and wake up Monday and do a run or something.
She does do that. I went out with her over Christmas and she kind of saved my Christmas. So I'm going to do it next year again because we went out drinking. Well, we stayed in her house. It was our Christmas party. So it was just the two of us. And when I say I died after that. And she was like, what? I had drinks that night. And I was like, how is that fair?
Some people just have it genetically.
So yeah, some people are good at it. I'm not.
I feel like you might have some genetic strength because when you came in today, we were talking about your mother, the delicious Sandra.
Yeah.
Do you say Sandra or Sandra?
Sandra.
Yeah.
She's going to be thrilled you brought her up because she spoke about you today.
She
loves you.
I love everything I see about that woman. The fashion carousels.
I know. All filmed by my stepdad.
Oh.
I know.
I mean, you have really good form for being a good wife and a good mother because of her. I mean,
my mom is the kind of mom, though, like, I remember asking her once, because this girl was like, I'm going to get you, like, this thing about your star alignments. When were you born? Like, what time? And I text my mom and I was like, Mom, what time was I born? And she goes, are you crazy? How do you think I'd know that? And I was like, oh, sorry. I thought you were there. She literally, like, I asked her about mom guilt. I was like, did you feel bad because you used to work so much as an air hostess? She goes, why would I? And I was like, okay, fair enough.
I think Irish moms are built different.
Oh, totally different, yeah.
So I listened to your audiobook because I'm an intellectual. I don't read that much. I just can't.
I can't listen because I don't have the attention span. So like if I listen to a book, it just goes. I haven't heard anything that's happened.
Well, I was on tour and stuck in a car a lot with my tour manager. And we've toured together for years and years. So we know everything already about
There's
each
no
other.
More conversation.
It's got to be audiobooks. And I loved yours.
Oh, thank you.
Big Mouth. Still available. And I loved the most hearing about your childhood.
I think people were quite shocked by that. Spenny in particular was like, oh my God. And I'm like... That's an Irish childhood. Does it sound bad to you? People are like, what? Like, you were dragged up. I'm like, no, that's Ireland. We spent all our time in the pub with our parents. And that's kind of, we had friends there. We collected beer mats. We had a nice time.
It sounds like you had a nice time. And it sounds like you've always been famous. Like, even in your town, even in your school, you were always louder or always like social, gregarious, whatever you want to call it. I was really pretty. Then you had this family that everybody knew about. Have you ever had an experience of not being famous in your life?
I wasn't famous for any good reason back then. Like I was, my auntie could barely speak to me for a few years because she was my year head. And I'd just leave school and be like, I got kicked out of my house. So like my mum had nothing to do with me being in school, and my mom didn't ever speak to my dad, which I really played my yeah. way. So like I would just leave school and my poor auntie would be chasing me being like, "Vogue, please don't go." And I'd be like, "You'll have to ring my dad, Naomi, because I'm not feeling well today," and off I'd skip. I was an arsehole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be.
You kind of, like, I just did a lot what I wanted. And I remember they used to punish us. They suspended me for a week, but one of my friends was suspended at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I was living with my dad at the time. And I was like, I've just got an extra holiday.
Yeah.
It didn't really make sense.
My parents did the same. They didn't talk to each other. And they don't realize at that time that it just means your kids can do anything. My sister went to Mexico. Mexico.
Stop.
At 13. Not by herself.
Okay, at 13, with who?
With a friend and her family. She said, like, oh, my mom said yes, and then got her own passport. She says, I'm going to dad's, dad, I'm going to mom's, and she was in Mexico.
Mexico. I did that with Spain, but I didn't go with a family. I went with my friend when we were 17, and I stole all the money from my dad to go, because he was a car salesman.
Yeah.
So, like, he used to have, like, wads of cash beside his bed, and I just, like, I was a great pickpocket. I don't steal anymore. It's going to sound really
nice. Well, you don't have to.
I don't have to.
You got this husband.
He's gone now. Oh, yeah.
This husband and his, like, inherited billions.
I don't know if it's billions.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is. Okay. Here's to hoping.
I'm excited about it. I always like when people marry well.
I know. We were talking about that, and I didn't, like, I married well in a lot of ways because his parents are actually so sound. And, like, I haven't always gotten on as well with boyfriends and partners' yeah. parents, but with them, like, I genuinely really enjoy their company and we spend a lot of time together.
But you had a pretty posh childhood as well. And I remember when I first met you on another show with Jimmy Carr, actually. I think it was you and Spencer both came on. I was like, oh, you can be posh in Ireland. I didn't know that because my Irish family weren't.
Yeah.
And then you talk in your book about how you didn't even realize you lived in this really big house and people were like, ooh.
Yeah, well, I grew up, first of all, we didn't have a lot for a long time in my childhood. And then my mom met my stepdad and he wasn't like minted or anything, but like, we had a 3-bedroom house in a nice area. And then my stepdad made a lot of money. And then we moved to this massive house. And I actually didn't like being the person in the massive house because you just want to be hanging out with your friends. Like, I just wanted to be down where they were. I was up around the hill and, like, I wasn't really allowed out because my stepdad, we had everything we needed in the house and we should be happy to be there. And, like, he was very, very strict. But it was a really weird thing. I actually went back to view that house. It was on sale. I couldn't afford it. But I was like, I'll just say that I can. So I went and looked around and it's not as big as I remember, but it was a really nice place to grow up, but a weird thing growing up when you don't have any money and then, like, you're suddenly rich bitch, I think I called the chapter.
Yeah, rich bitch.
Yeah, rich
it's a good
bitch.
Chapter. Yeah. It's like a movie, like a 90s movie that we all want to be in.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Like the Princess Bride, rich bitch. Do you think that your children will be the same way? Because I think both of us are raising our children really well. They're certainly not being dragged up. They have everything they could want. They go to nice schools. They have each other. We bring them everywhere with us. My oldest daughter just wants disposable, cheap clothing from overseas. You know what I mean? Some of those websites.
I like the way you said overseas. Nice.
Yeah. I really thought about each word, but disposable, non-sustainable. She just wants, like, cheap shit.
Yeah.
She wants to go down to, like, central London with her friends and wear this, like, horrible. I mean, I love her, but all of the wonderful things that I think I'm giving her, she doesn't want those things.
Yeah. You just want to be with your friends. You just want to be the same as everybody else. Mm-hmm. You just want to wear the cheap shit that everyone else is wearing. You don't want to, like, stick out. Like, you kind of, you turn into a uniform gang when you're kids. Like, you just do. Do you not remember going out and, like, freezing but refusing to wear a jumper even? And you just sit in walls and just be free. Like, I couldn't bear that. Mm. But that's kind of what kids do. And I think with my kids, like, they're very lucky. We go on nice holidays and stuff. But I got given a job when I was 16. And I think it's so important for kids to understand the value of money. And, like, T was looking at Halloween costumes. I know, listen, it's so far in advance. And he's like, this one's only £25. And I was like, go get me £25 from upstairs then. And, like, because he just doesn't know what £25 is because he has a little money box. And he just, I just want them to understand the value of money so that they realize actually it takes a long time to earn £25.
Well, you're doing better than me. I haven't taught my kids any of that. None of it.
We're still in the middle of it.
What do you think was your best age looking back?
I honestly, and I'm not just saying this because I'm 40, but I think like late 30s, early 40s, when you kind of have things figured out a bit more, you're less hopefully like struggling with stuff. You kind of know what you want. Like I was wild in my 20s, really wild. I'm so glad there was no camera phones or anything like that. Yeah. God. And then 30s, like kind of had my wild moments too. And now I just feel like I get it. I know what I want and like what I want to do in my career and all that stuff. And it kind of comes at a later age.
Was turning 40 weird for you or did you embrace it?
I embraced it. I just thought at least I'm not dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Because I went through, did you ever go through that phase when you had kids of being terrified of dying?
Yes.
My God, I used to see old people on the street and I'd be like, Spenny would be like, what's wrong? And I'd be like, they must be so worried. He'd be like, why? I'd be like, well, they're clearly nearly going to die.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, I wonder if that's all they think about. And then I said it to my mom once and she was like, don't bring that up with me.
Oh, yes.
I know.
She'll never die.
No, she won't. I feel like I might get to 90. And I'd be happy with that. But even when I'm 90, I know I'm not going to want to die. It's so scary.
Do you have very old people in your family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, not that old. What's very old these days?
Well,
90.
Like, some people have family members that go, yeah, my great-granddad's 104 and so-and-so's 197 and I don't have that.
Oh, no. All grandparents dead. I've lost one parent, but my dad would have been like 82 or something now. So, like, they're kind of older.
And what age was your dad again when he died?
68, yes.
And I wonder, at the time, did you feel like that was old?
No.
Okay.
But now he lived a life. He lived by the sword and died by the sword. He had fun.
I think it's cool that you had a dad like that.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me, knowing a little bit about you, that his spark, like that little naughtiness that he had, is very much alive in you, but you've harnessed it along with like ice baths and running. You know, you're like a great version of that.
I can go, and then I stop. Yeah, he just had no off button. But he, I always say that he died of fun because like he just, I remember he had like two heart attacks in one day and then he was found hanging out a hospital window smoking.
Great.
So that was just the way he was going
to
be.
It was nice of him to go out the window. My granddad would have smoked in the hospital bed and been like, and?
Yeah, with an oxygen tank beside him, Grant.
It was great to be a granddad. Those men could really just do whatever they wanted to do.
I know, but like, I just think that back in the day, things that we don't know now, that's why sometimes I think some things are ridiculous. So, like when you look at back in the day, it's like, oh God, are we going too much into the health and stuff now? I like to be healthy, but I don't like to be like insane about it. Like I watched some people's biohacking things and I'm like, your morning routine. And those people who get up at 3:45, why?
I know.
Stay in bed.
And what time are they going to bed?
I know.
What we have seen on this podcast, and this is something I'm actually worried about with you, is you talk about those people the way I look at you because you can overdo it. And we've seen people, elite athletes, their results come back higher.
Really?
Because they don't have enough recovery time. Now, you look at the biohackers as doing too much. I know you very well parasocially through your Instagram.
Yeah.
And that body, I mean, I see you working out. You got this like Flexi app.
Yes.
Don't know what that is. Don't want to know. You're running.
I'll give you a free code.
You're skiing in your knickers or maybe a bikini.
Yeah.
You look like an elite athlete. You and your husband.
I don't. I think people think I train a lot more than I do.
Tell us you train a lot more than you do, because if you're not training as much as it looks like you're training, then why am I fat?
I would say I'm active. Like I'm active all the time. Like I think I never ever sit still. Like I once went to a therapist and I was like, please help me. And he was like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I just can't stop. And I really want to stop. And he was like, it's just your personality. Like this is what you've always been like. And I'm like, I just want to sit down. Like I can't really go to the cinema. It gives me the fear to think of going to the cinema because I'm like, oh my God, then I'll have to sit down. And I went to see that one with the table tennis one.
Oh yes, Marty Supreme.
I had to take two breaks in the Everyman and I went outside and I looked at the Christmas tree for like 5 or 6 minutes. I was like, I can't sit here. It's 2 hours, 20 minutes long. But with training, that's what I do. So like with training, I do 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like weight training kind of maybe 4 or 5 times a week. And then I'll try and run like 3K, maybe 3 times a week. But like I walk the kids to school, I cycle also to nursery. Like that's, I count that as, that's exercise.
So when you're always active and moving around, is that stillness for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Marty Supreme, you're sat still. He's playing ping pong.
Yeah.
That's bad for you. But if your body's moving, your mind is quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my mind is never quiet. Like Spenny's asked me, he's like, what's it like in there? And I'm like, it's always, there's something always happening.
What's it like in there? He says,
I'm never alone.
Did you have a hand in inspiring your husband to stop drinking and start running around?
I think when somebody has issues around drink and stuff like that, I've always known that you can't ask somebody to stop. You can't force them to stop because they have to want to do it for themselves. Mm-hmm. Like even with my dad, I said he was fond of the drink. Like he was very fond of the drink. And I kind of was always around that for my whole life. And I remember when I was pregnant with Theodore and things were kind of getting out of hand a little bit with Spenny and his drinking. And I just turned around to him and I said, this isn't really the life for me. Mm. And if you want to keep doing this, that's totally cool, but I'm just not going to be around for it. So although it was kind of like an ultimatum, I wasn't saying you have to stop. I was just saying, I just don't want this. And then I think he took a step back and was like, okay, it kind of is. Even within himself, he kind of felt like that he was just not achieving the things that he did. And if you look at him 6 or 7 years ago or 8 years ago when we met, like his life was so, so different. And like the stuff that he's achieved now, he never would have achieved back then. So, but like, it's a tough thing to do. And I don't think it's something that you can ask someone to do. I'm glad that he did it, but there's always room for improvement, isn't there?
See, you're a good wife. I think that's why it's great to be divorced in a way, because they know you will leave.
Oh yeah.
You're like, guess what?
Oh yeah.
I have left men in the dust before and I'll do it again.
And it's expected of me. Like my brother, when I was married the first time, when I was getting married, he was living in Australia and I was like, oh, this is the date of the wedding, blah, 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 blah. And eventually he was like, listen, I can't go, like I can't get back, but I will go to the next one.
That's funny.
And he did. He came to the next one.
Fine. Yeah. Fine. You've had 3 marriages or 2?
2.
2.
Thank you though.
2 is fine. Well, because I remember in the book, of course, the marriage chapter.
Yeah.
Just 2 is not a lot.
2 isn't a lot.
I think forgive yourself for 2. And you were so young with the first one.
I was 26.
And you didn't have kids. Mm-hmm. And that's like it never even happened.
Sometimes it is. Yeah.
If you divorce someone and you've got kids, it is a bit of an admin nightmare. People do it, but if you didn't do that, it doesn't count, I say.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I think between us and everyone listening, he lives in England, so it's fine, but I think my husband drinks a bit too much.
Yeah.
And I think there are reasons people do that. I've tried to influence kind of a Spencer Matthews glow up in him. I've been like, you could be, because my husband also values fitness and all these other things.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2 things are wrong with that is I don't have the hot, like coolness that you've had to go, this really isn't the life for me. I might go. He knows that we have too many kids. I'm not taking them anywhere.
You could easily do it if you wanted.
Maybe I will.
You could. Just let him think that at least. You're like, dude, I am gone.
He'll be like, nice try. In what 7-seater SUV are you going to take all these kids out of here?
Can you imagine trying to date now with like your 4 kids? Yeah. Imagine me with 3. They'd be like, but my stepdad took my mom on, took her on. But I do say that I'm like, are you? And we weren't normal kids. Mm. Like we were completely deranged.
Yeah.
My brother was kind of normal, but me and my sister were not normal. And like, I remember when he was trying to bond with us, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, we were in the house and he was trying to read us The Hobbit and we were bouncing from bed to bed to bed to bed. He absolutely lost his shit and kind of never tried again. But like he was trying to be all bondy. But imagine taking on 3 kids like us. Gosh.
That's the magic of Sandra.
That's it. Sandra can do anything she wants. And if they fight, her punishment for him is that he's not allowed to make her breakfast in bed.
Oh,
that's her actual. She's like, I don't want it. I won't have breakfast in bed today. I'd be like, fine.
She's so elegant. I picture her in bed just wearing a beautiful hat, like maybe some type of like turban, like a matching robe, all silk. Just like, keep your breakfast. Yeah. I got men lining up around this town to bring me breakfast.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing like that.
How old do you feel?
I feel as fit as I did in my 20s. Mm. Yeah. The only time I felt old was when I did Gladiators, but that's a different kind of fitness. And I was literally like, I am old and battered. I was in bits. Couldn't walk properly for a week after it. Yeah.
Oh, because that looks like a really fun show.
It's really fun, but it's like a lot of endurance. Like these are the fittest of the fittest people.
So do you train for it like you would practice for Strictly, or you just go and fight?
I didn't train for it. No. Well, they said you can't really, I can't train to be a gladiator.
Seems like maybe up the strength training a bit, have those paddles, just have a go.
I didn't. And I got battered.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, I really enjoyed it. I would do it again. 10 out of 10.
You're always up for a challenge, which feels very young, like the jump where you met Spencer.
God, I'd love to do that show again.
But you love skiing anyway.
I love skiing. I love a ski holiday because I do love being... Now, like skiing involves going on the piss as well. You've got your après ski. Like I'm a binge drinker, so I don't like the taste of alcohol, and that's probably why I don't drink that much. I don't like the taste of any of it.
So you won't have a glass of wine in the evening?
Never. Wine especially I wouldn't drink. Unless like we're talking like at the end of a party and there's absolutely no booze left. That's the only time I ever drink wine.
That could be good for the test.
You could drink anything at that stage though, because you can't taste anything.
So what do you drink then when you're...
When I drink, I would drink a tequila and dash, you know, the lemon lime dash, because that kind of tastes like sweets, or a vodka Diet Coke or champagne.
Nice.
And that's my only list.
Vogue, I don't know if this is xenophobic, like if it's stereotyping you in any way as being Irish, and I'm apologizing if it does, but I've heard of people drinking Guinness and splitting the G.
Okay.
Is that a special talent that you hold?
Yeah, because you know how much I like alcohol. I love the taste of it.
Do you like warm, flat Guinness?
Oh my God, that's so weird. Yes.
Okay.
I love warm, flat Guinness.
We've got that in for you, and I would love it if you'd show me if you split the G.
Oh my God, imagine I puked all over your... That's fine. I can get it wrong. Yeah. Okay, split the G. Now...
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh my God, that is a shameful pour of Guinness. Even I know that that's not good. If it's really gross, I can't swallow that much.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have to swallow it.
Okay.
Oh no. Yeah, so that's it. That's how you split the G. Thank you. Now I know.
I told you. I don't know how much is in that. I honestly felt like I'd done really well there.
Yeah, you did. So that's me. When I go to Ireland, I'm going to tell people, guess what? I learned from Vogue Williams how to split the G. I am one of you. Thank you for teaching me that.
I thought you meant harp.
Do you know, it's a really good effort. Ugh. And what would you eat in a normal week? Like good stuff and bad stuff?
Good stuff. Every day I have eggs, toast, some avocado or cheese on toast for breakfast. Mm-hmm. I sometimes like to have a bowl of Special K, but that's just full of shit. But I really love cereal. Like I love Cocoa Pops. I veer towards, like I want sweets all the time. Yeah. I love marshmallows. I love Dip Dabs. I love like Stinger bars, like those chewy refresher bars. Mm-hmm, you can get Stinger ones in Ireland. But I don't eat them that much. I do eat chocolate most days. Lunch, I had a sandwich for lunch, coleslaw, brie and ham, which was delicious. And then and for dinner, I don't know what I'll have, like steak and potatoes or something.
So you eat really well. You're really active.
Yeah, well, I eat well-ish, yeah.
That's really well compared to how I eat, I think.
How do you eat? What do you have?
You've described good things.
Like what you have for breakfast. Yeah, but you're up so early and you're tired. And when you're tired, you just want to eat shit.
I'll eat anything. Like I'll eat out of the sink. Like if I've put something...
Sorry, no. All the cooking that you guys do.
Well, yeah.
I look at your food and I'm like, wow. Yeah.
So Bobby cooks. He doesn't really let me in the kitchen.
Stunning.
He's really got his like zone. But then I will eat leftover gusto like for breakfast. So I might have like a Thai curry for breakfast and like some of a burger later. I boil eggs a lot, but I'll eat sugar. I really like Snickers. I like ice cream.
Oh, I love a Snickers. I don't love ice cream that much. I could live a life with no ice cream, but I have chocolate. I bring chocolate home from Ireland. Like I won't eat the chocolate here. So I bring these bars, are about that size, that and a Star bar, Dairy Milk. I bring, like, I'll spend 100 quid in the airport, and then that will do me for a few months.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Of your challenging shows, and there have been many.
Yeah.
The Jump, where you were loving your life. You were single. Didn't you say you were, like, kind of seeing someone else? You didn't want to be seeing anyone.
I was kind of, that's when I was doing my, which I would suggest that everybody does when they're single. I don't know if it's a mean thing, but I think that you need a few people on
three,
the go.
The three rule.
At least three.
You had at least three?
Oh, no, I wasn't even kissing them all. Like, I was just, some of them were just texters.
Great.
That I was going to go on dates with. But I think that I have a tendency to, like, meet somebody and fall madly in love with them, like, so quick. So I was like, right, I need to not do that. So I was, like, having a few people on the go. So your attention is kind of dispersed amongst different people. And then I met Spenny. And I think because I wasn't that interested because I had all these other people I was texting, it kind of worked really well for us. Yeah.
You did the Sandra, you can't bring me breakfast in bed. This is the energy that we should all have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tried to do that for a while. And then when we try and work out when we started officially dating, I think we came up with a date of around March.
Fine. So of all of your very challenging shows,
yeah,
The Jump, The Jungle,
yeah,
which would you say was the most challenging?
The Jungle. It was really very hard. Yeah. Because I wasn't expecting it. Because I did Bear Grylls, and although that was really hard and we were, like, sleeping, we basically were sleeping on the floor at the end of it in the jungle with, like, scorpions around us, we'd kind of been eased into that. I think with The Jungle, like, I'm so obsessed with sleep that when I arrived there, I was quite jet lagged. And then when I had to go into the jungle, I was so jet lagged. And so it's hard to get an old sleeping tablet in there because, like, there's a fire that goes on all night. They're really weird about giving you stuff.
Yeah.
And so so the first night I'd say I slept, because it's so loud as well. There's these frogs that just scream all night long. And, like, honestly, we thought it was part of the show, but it was just these screeching frogs at night. I had really bad sleep the first night, like an hour. And then the second night it happened again. And then we were taken into the jungle that night and cockroaches poured all over our heads and having a freezing cold shower at, like, midnight. We kind of worked it out. And then I had a mental breakdown. I was like, you know, I've had, like, panic attacks. This was verging on one, and I'm sitting in the thing. And I was like, didn't air it, which was really nice. Yeah, because obviously I looked completely insane. And it was all down to sleep and knowing how anxious I'd be if I didn't sleep and not being able to do a whole day on such little sleep. And then they eventually gave me a sleeping tablet and then I was fine. And then I loved it. And then I loved sleeping outside and I missed sleeping outside. But that the starvation in there and nothing tasting of anything. Like, I remember we got sweet corn and that tasted like something. Nothing else tasted of food. It's just mush.
I love it. Like, then I loved it. No, I think you love sleeping tablets. I
love Zopaclone.
I can't believe it was so bad that they didn't air it, because they're trying to push you less so now with health and safety.
They're very good on the old mental health, I have to say.
But still, they're trying to push a reaction out of you. So the fact that they did not air it.
No, I must have looked completely berserk. I know.
And there's a lot more going on for you, I think, as a mom being in there.
I actually didn't realize how difficult it would be in there with three kids at home and not being able to talk to them.
So with regards to the mentee bee that you described and the panic attacks and the anxiety, paint me a picture of, like, what that has looked like for you growing up and what it looks like now.
Never really noticed it until I got to about the age of 27, 28. I haven't had that many panic attacks. I had one when I first kind of started happening to me, and I took myself to hospital and everything, and I they had me hooked up to this heart machine, and I was like, great, I'm gonna die like my dad.
Oh yeah.
and then it was kind of fine, but, like, I do have tablets and I always will have them, but I don't remember the last time I took one. Now I've learned ways to manage it, and that's probably why I am active all the time. It's why I don't drink as much as I should.
As I should. Is
I
a
should
great
be
answer.
Drinking more.
I'm trying to build it up.
Yeah. But, like, I would have, so I'd drink and then the next day I'd be fine because I'd be having loads of fun. And then I would die for, like, 3 days after of anxiety. And I was like, it's actually just not worth it. It's only worth it the odd time for me. And But like, I've had a couple of panic attacks over, and they're over nothing. They're like, they're really embarrassing. Like, I had one with Spenny when we were away in Italy. And I remember looking at his face and thinking, he thinks I am insane. No. And then we woke up the next day and he was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, when you were before you were married?
No, thank God we were married, because he wouldn't have married me after that. I was sitting on the balcony at 3 a.m. with a notepad. Oh. I was like, this is insane. Well, you can't describe it, but I'm lucky that like I do kind of see the funny side of anxiety, but it's something that you cannot get rid of. Mm. It always is, it lingers, and like you just kind of can tone it down a bit sometimes, but then like anything could set me off. Like something so ridiculous. It's usually around something to do with the kids, and it's always around sleep as well. But I think I've got a decent enough hold on it now.
And did it get worse when you were pregnant or when you had the kids?
It was quite bad during one pregnancy. And then you have all the panic with the kids anyway. So like you're just worried about stuff all the time. And there's just that constant worry and trying to keep up with stuff. But it's kind of, it's quite good at the moment. I should touch wood. Switch my head three times.
There you go. Yeah. Did you always know that you wanted a big family?
Yeah. Yeah. I always loved dolls when I was younger, and looking like, I used to ask for an ironing board for Christmas and stuff. Like, I loved all of it. And I was always very maternal. And I always wanted to have quite a lot of kids. But then I kind of thought, when I got divorced, when I was 30, because you know, you have these milestones and you're like, I want to own a house. I want to have kids and be married by the time I'm 30. And then I got divorced when I was 30 and I was like, I'm going to die alone.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work out like that, obviously.
It's amazing. You look back how young you were and you thought, this is my last chance at this job or that business or this love.
That's crazy.
You're like, you were 17. I remember watching Miss Teen America, or what was it called? Miss Teen USA.
Okay.
Because I was a huge Donald Trump fan even back then. And I would watch it and I remember...
Do you own a MAGA hat?
Yes. And I thought, oh, I'm too old to ever win this. Leave out, I was brutally ugly, had crazy teeth, could not be seen in a bikini.
Can't do it.
And I was like, now I'll never win Miss Teen USA. I've passed that milestone. Like, huh?
You do feel like, oh, great. Well, that's never going to happen to me.
I remember I went to French school and the teacher was describing us what New Year's was. And she's like, it's a chance to like start again. And I was like 5 years old, like, I need a fresh start. This is a fresh, a new chapter that I badly need. Was it difficult to get divorced? Like to actually go through with it? Did you try to get divorced?
No.
Loads of times before you got divorced?
No, but I think when I do breakups, certainly I do the long goodbye. Mm. So like because I've always had long-term relationships and like I'll know that it's time to break up and then we'll get back together and then we'll break up and then we'll get back together. And it's a really long process. Getting divorced was, it's easy if everybody is willing to be amicable about it. Well, as much as you can be. And my divorce lawyer texted me recently because she heard me talking about her on the pod. Emma Divorce.
saved in the WhatsApp. Oh, it's Emma Divorce. What does she know that I don't? Like, she's seen Spencer Papp somewhere. She's like, just checking in.
but it was relatively easy enough because we didn't have anything to split, not really. And like, he didn't go after like my apartment or anything like that because I owned that. And like, it was easy enough. We kind of fell out a bit over the dog, but I got the dog in the end.
Yeah. Do you think that you had a lot of bad relationships growing up?
I think I've been in not great relationships. And there was always a reason for the breakup that was very, very valid. But I think that I also have a point where I'm just like, you know what? No, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And you kind of, then I'll just be like, no. I'd be super loyal to people and like really protective over people in my family or friends and stuff like that. And if I don't feel the same like kind of respect back, I kind of don't want to have someone like that in my life. And I haven't lost many friends, but there's been a couple of friends over the years that I've lost that are just is to do with trust issues and stuff like that.
Do people like sell stories about you?
No, but threaten to.
No way.
Yeah. And I'm like, guys, they're not going to buy that shit. Like,
friends, people who are your actual friends have verbally said.
Yeah. Verbally said. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. I'm like, who do you think you're going to sell it to?
Like, have you listened to my podcast? I'll say it myself. Yeah. Go back a couple episodes. I've probably covered it.
Yeah, exactly.
But other than that, actually, in terms of friends, which is really good for your biological age, from what I see, yes, on your socials, I know you're busy with the kids and you're busy with your businesses and work and everything else, but you seem to have a really beautiful group of friends and support, and you're close to your sister and you've got Joanne, and then I see you back in Ireland and you got a big circle there.
Yeah.
Do you prioritize that intentionally?
I think I've always been really lucky with my friends. Like my friends are the girls I met when I was in school when I was 12. And that, like, they're my best friends. And then I have friends from town that I met when I was probably about 18. And a lot of them are still friends and my best friends. And then Amber is like, I think Amber and I are probably too close. But I think that has to do with like, I'm always like, Amber, if I die first, you can come with me and go in the grave beside me. Like,
great. Can't wait for that.
Take her down. But like, I think that Amber and I grew up like in a situation that was different to other people. So it made us closer. Mm-hmm. And we ring each other, like, honestly, about 5 times a day. And I think that we have that super special bond. But it's really nice to have that, to just have somebody that literally has your back no matter what. It's a really nice feeling.
I like the energy that you have in your friendships and your relationships. And if we could all be more that way, like move forward without baggage from it or like unfinished trauma.
Oh God, I probably have trauma about some stuff. It's not like a stiff upper lip thing like British people have. It's more like, I'm just not going to dwell on stuff. Like, mm-hmm. shit things happen to loads of people. And I always think if you were to like take someone else's problem off a tree, you'd probably put it back and take your own back.
Yeah.
So like, I try to put things into perspective. I sometimes feel really guilty about my life. And I'm just like when I see other people like struggling online and like all that, I'm like, why do I deserve this? Mm-hmm. And they're having that kind of a time.
Because you're prettier than they are.
That's, I'll write that under their post.
Be like, just look in the mirror and be like, yeah, I deserve this trip to St. Bart's for free again.
Excuse me, I have to pay for half of that.
You do? It's not fair.
I pay for half of everything. I said that when I was on our first dates with Svenny, he was like, oh, I'll get it. And I was like, no, you got the last one. And he's like, no, I'll get it. And then I was like, no, I like to pay for half. Don't ever say that.
So
don't ever say it.
My daughter's friend Lulu is here and I hear the girls talking, and I'm not saying that Lulu thinks this. I can't like attribute any beliefs or like manifestos to Lulu personally, but sometimes I hear the girls talking, and would you believe this new generation, the girls aren't paying. They're not paying. They're like, well done, I'll work. Maybe not Lulu.
Lulu's nodding. Yeah. Nodding. Lulu doesn't look stupid. Well done, Lulu.
Because I think that we did feminism.
We went too hard.
In a necessary way. Yeah. But we've discounted the fact that we sacrifice so much more than they do. We sacrifice our bodies to further their legacy and ours. We have to work harder to get the same.
Yeah.
And we've lost this element of like fair courtship. And the young women are implementing again. They say, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to earn my own money. I'm going to have this equality. However, you're paying for everything.
I know. I just really fucked up.
Where did they get that from?
It's kind of amazing. They must get it online somewhere.
From the manosphere?
From the manosphere. They're like, right, you jerks.
You can pick and choose the elements of the manosphere. But I wouldn't recommend doing that, because I, on my other podcast, said I like some of the work ethic of the manosphere boys. And people got really
like
upset.
Like who in particular? Oh God, I couldn't bear them.
No, well, obviously, I come from a position of men are trash, but I was like, I like that one gets up early and creates his own wealth and scams people at dawn and is going to work out.
He's scamming people all night. Well done.
He's scamming people left, right, and center. I like him. My husband should learn to go scam a few people. I want to go to Miami.
We should all just try and scam people overnight while we sleep. It would be nice.
You pay for half of things in your marriage.
I know.
I hate that about you.
I know. And you know what drives me mad? Because you know when you get rotten comments like that you see, it's not things slagging off my looks that really bother me. It's when people are like, oh, living off your husband. And I'm like, if you only fucking knew.
In terms of wealth, for those of our listeners, I don't know how.
You can ask me how much money I make.
How much money do you have? No. I was going to say, I don't think there will be any of our listeners who don't already know about your podcast with Joanne McNally, My Therapist Ghosted Me. Yeah. But that blew up. And surely through all your work and your businesses, but also like definitely the podcast and the touring off the back of the podcast.
Yeah.
It's not as though you're like, you know, a small woman who's living off your husband. Like you're making great money from
that. No, I know. I just think it's an easy job, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, like, I remember when I first met Svenny, like people were literally like, oh my God, who's this Irish bird he's going out with? And I'm like, guys, sorry.
They literally lived in a big house.
Yeah. Read my book. It was honestly like they just thought that I was like scum of the earth because he's like so posh and so well spoken. Yeah. And they're like, this Irish blokey bird comes along.
Blokey. I love that you describe yourself as you're like a
I am
goddess.
I'm a little bit blokey. To bloke.
How often are you mistaken for a bloke?
Honestly, like quite a lot on the phone.
Well, but they look good now and they have this voice thing they can do in Korea.
On the phone, like if I'm staying in a hotel, I'll be like, and can I have this, this and this? And they're like, oh, is that everything, sir? And I'm like, yeah. And I just leave it. I'm like, there's just no point in correcting them because it makes them embarrassed and it makes me embarrassed.
You could maybe sound like a 14-year-old boy.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Do you know what I mean? Like when one that can still do soprano in the school choir.
Yeah,
that
okay,
could
fine.
Be it. Like a young sir.
But me and Joanne talk about that sometimes and we're like, we were always like mommies and daddies. We were daddies. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we were
never
like the girly girls. And you kind of grow up with that and you kind of stay in that mold. And I have massive hands as well.
Same. Yeah. Like in the school nativity, I wouldn't be an angel. I'd be a shepherd.
Yeah.
That was
like I was Blue the Bear because I had the deepest voice of everyone in the class and it was a mixed school.
Blue the Bear. And you'd be tall too.
I'm a giant as well, yeah.
And that is so beautiful now and like is amazing. It's something I can't buy. I've tried.
No,
but as a young woman,
no,
it's hard.
I hated being the giant with no boobs. And massive hands and a deep voice. It's not the way to go when you're a teenager.
I like that you've stuck with the no boobs.
I have stuck with that now.
Because they're so chic.
Sometimes I wouldn't mind a bit of a tit.
Please don't.
Just a mini tit.
Well, good news, because I'm going to get my implants out soon enough.
Really?
I could rinse them off and send them your way.
It's really kind.
Were all your pregnancies really straightforward?
Yeah, all of them. Well, always very sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like sitting up, going to sleep, kind of sickness. Mm. Awful. But like there's amazing tablets. But I was buying when I was pregnant with Gigi, I had to buy like additional tablets because I was so ill.
And I just thought, she's a girl.
Yeah, I just thought like they're so expensive. And what do they do with people who can't afford them? Like they just have to suffer.
They don't really want to give women anything.
No.
They just want you to suffer.
Oh God, it's horrendous.
There's a certain honor to delivering the baby with no drugs.
Oh my God, I loved the drugs.
Yeah, yeah. I love all drugs.
Oh my God.
In a medical setting.
Oh, like the gas and air. I love that. Like that's what I'll miss most about having babies. I honestly would put, because I didn't know the first baby, I didn't know that once you took the epidural, there was no more gas and air.
Oh.
So then for the next two, I really fucking held off for as long as I could. It's like I was at a festival for the whole day. It was brilliant.
They can give you, because I didn't have any drugs with any, I had gas and air, but no epidural, nothing. Yeah. So on the last baby, my last hurrah, I was like, talk to me. Like I sat down with the anesthetist and I was like, what do you have? I was in the Portland. I was like, surely you can give me the best of the best. They can give you a shot in your leg of diamorphine, I think it is.
Not enough.
But they don't want to give it to you. They're like, but you
know. So you had nothing?
Just gas and air every pregnancy. But then there's another thing you can have if you can't have the epidural for whatever reason, and it is fentanyl. And it's a little button, and it's like a short-acting fentanyl that you push during contraction. But the guy counseled me about it. He's like, if you have that, you have to stay in the bed. We need like an extra nurse in here all the time because you can just fall asleep and die. Like you have
to. Stop the fentanyl.
Yeah. He's like, and the button is on a timer. So if you've pressed it, you can't press it again for a bit. It's really short acting. So it only works for the contraction. You have to time it. I was like, forget it.
She got that. I never even heard of that. Was that recently?
Yeah. I mean, 5 months ago.
Wow.
But you don't want that.
Well, I had an operation in the summer and they had they were giving me fentanyl and they were like, we'll give you the fentanyl first. And I was like, oh no, is that what killed Michael Jackson? And they're like, yeah, we call it Jackson juice. And I was like, I was like, okay, go. And then I was like, wow.
It's so nice.
But like, I'd be like, I don't know.
These, what we've learned in a medical setting about these drugs
is— I love the way you keep saying, I'm not, we don't think you're doing fentanyl at the weekends with Bobby.
No.
Let's go look at the grass, Bobby.
But I wouldn't, this is what we've learned. I love those drugs. I wouldn't be doing them in the park, in the street.
No.
Like, that is so dangerous.
Even like when everyone was soaking deodorant when I was younger, I was always too scared to do it. Because I was like, I heard someone died from it. So I was like, I can't soak the deodorant and everyone else will be soaking deodorant.
Good.
Yeah.
What about like tweakments and treatments and stuff? You've been like really open about that stuff, which I love.
Absolutely anything. Like the more downtime, the better. I actually was trying to work it out. I was like, how much of my year is spent in downtime and hiding? And then I'm like, doesn't matter. It's worth it.
What are you into now?
I adore Botox. Mm-hmm. And I have this Botox woman who like transforms your whole face. Like,
show me like, because I heard you talking about this on the podcast, but where is she doing it?
So she's this woman, she's called Katrina Ryan, and like she had a closed waiting list.
She's
like,
copying my entire name.
She's the Irish you.
I'm the Irish me.
She's with a C.
Okay.
She basically, I went into her, my cousin got me on her
in
list.
In Ireland?
Yeah. Like I fly home for her.
Okay.
Yeah. And she like, when I first went in, and she's really quick and she sees like 40 people a day and her waiting list is like shut. And like she put it here, obviously all the normal bits. And then she put it in there and what? There. And I was like, what the? And in the tip of my nose. And I left being like, because I'd never seen it before. I left and I was like, oh, why am I going to look insane?
Yeah.
Because you know, when you get bad Botox, sometimes you can look bad. And I left and I was like, there's nothing I can do about this. It's just going to have to see what happens in a week. And a week later, I was looking in the mirror and I was like, who's that girl? So happy with myself.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so good Botox. But like pretty much anything I will get done. Like burn my face off. Yeah. Like,
have you done a CO2 laser?
No, but that is. Did you do one?
No, I haven't. But we talk about it a lot in the office.
I have to show you a picture of my mom because I got her to do one.
Oh no. I just heard it hurts so much.
My mom got it done. And then like, and I hadn't mentioned it to her. She brought it to me and I said, yeah, this girl that I know got it done and the results were great. And my mom got it done and like day two, she was like, why did you tell me to get this?
Yeah.
She
no.
Like she'd been dragged along the pavement. I was like, it's bad. But then cut to a week later and she was thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, it is a good result.
It's all worth it.
But
some people don't like, I know, like you talk about it a lot as well, but I know some people don't like to age like that. But like, I do like to age like that. I just want to get loads of stuff. I find it fun. I love skincare. I love sitting there doing my skin bits every night. Mm-hmm. Like I really enjoy it. I feel like if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I'd be doing something skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that we openly love it. You're allowed to love it.
Yeah. And if you don't love it, you don't have to do it. I was surprised that you went to the extent that you did and telling people stuff. Because you mailed Joanne and I was like, oh my God. And then you came in and said it publicly. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Do you know what I would say about being open about the facelift? Is once you do that, you never get a real compliment ever again. People comment on all my videos.
Yeah.
They go, oh, the facelift looks good. Oh, the facelift. And it'll be old videos when I hadn't had a facelift. And I'm like, nope, that
one's
just my face.
People can't bear it because they think you've cheated. And it's like, well, I wanted to cheat.
I want to cheat. Yeah, of course. I'm doing the cheat codes everywhere I can. All right. How old do you think that you're going to be in this biological age test?
Okay, so I'm 40.
Yes.
If I'm anything above 30, I'm going to the pub as soon as I leave here. And I'm going to start vaping again.
Anything above 30 will disappoint you.
Well, because what's the point then?
Yeah, but I was 77.
I mean, Catherine, I'm taking myself to the grave if I'm 77.
You have a lot of kids.
Catherine, you're lining me up for bad news.
Well, I don't know what it is yet. It's under there.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking you've had experience, though you have a good handle on it with the exercise now, panic attacks, that can induce some inflammation. You're managing a household with three small kids. You have all these businesses. Now we know you're paying half.
Disgraceful, really.
Paying half ages you.
Does it? I must go home and tell Spencer the news. If you want a young looking wife, you need to start paying more.
Get a young, an actual young wife, and you can pay 120% for her. And the crisis PR.
I'll tell you what, if I get married again, touch wood, I don't. But if I do, I won't be paying half. I've learned my lesson.
Phil Williams, we took your blood and the people at Glyconage tested it. And now I would like to invite our resident science woman, Dr. Nicola Conlon, to interpret your results as we reveal them. Nicola has dedicated her career to human longevity. She is 86 years old herself.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
Yeah, but how old are you with this thing?
20.
Oh, for God's sake, Catherine. We know.
But don't worry. If it's bad news, Nicola will tell you something to do about it.
Because if it's bad news, I'll start drinking and vaping.
Okay, well, we don't want that. Are you ready for us to reveal your biological age?
Yeah.
Phil Williams, your chronological age is 40. Your biological age is 25.
I'm still 5 years older than Joanne.
I knew you were going to say
that. She is never going to drop this. I told her I was on the way to do this and she's like, ring me after.
Because she's child free.
25 is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. So, oh, thank God.
Because of Katrina Ryan's work, we can't tell how you feel about it.
So this is a really good result, but I have got another reveal for you.
Oh no. Oh, what? My oldest one.
Because if you remember, you were going to come on a previous series and we actually did your test a year ago, exactly a year before this test. And it was a very different result.
Stop.
So a year ago, it actually came out as 44.
No, I would have been ill. No.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I was drinking and vaping back then.
So what I was going to ask is exactly that. What have you changed year because it has had a significant reduction?
When did we do it? We did it literally
a
year ago.
It was exactly a year before.
What's the date now, March? I hadn't given up the vaping then. Yeah. I had to get hypnotized for that. I was vaping a lot and drinking. And then when I drank, I smoked.
Okay. So I was really quite excited about this, and I'm so glad that there has been something that you've changed, because this really does show that
44.
These things have a big impact. But the important thing is that changing things can massively impact and improve
that's
the result.
Wild.
And this is what, it's a year. So in the grand scheme of things, that's not long to get such a significant change when you've changed something in your lifestyle. And it just shows how important lifestyle is and that it really is in your hands. So yeah,
well,
I bet you're glad.
Stress and everything. I'm so glad. I'm just thinking I could have been anxious back then as well.
I mean, the other thing is, you know, we know that if there's anything, you know, if there was something significant that had happened around that time, that was something else I was maybe going to ask if you can remember. Those things can temporarily flare up inflammation, because this test does measure inflammation, even periods of illness, things like that. But the fact
44.
That, yeah, so 44. So yeah, I bet you're glad you came and did this series.
God, I never would imagine. I am preaching in my lifestyle.
You're like, anything above 30, I'm out of here. I'm so glad you came back.
Thank God we couldn't make the last one work.
Yeah. But we know that obviously vaping, alcohol, both of those things put the body in a state of inflammation.
Now, I wouldn't have drank that much, to be honest with you, even back then. But I think even drinking like once a week would drag my anxiety into the next week and stuff like that. So maybe that's
going to say that you mentioned that, you know, having a drink then would trigger anxiety. And it's all the other things, sleep. You know, alcohol massively impacts sleep. And if you have the Oura Ring, you will know that just even one drink can really affect your sleep. And then again, if that's something you get anxious about, that then brings that up. It raises cortisol. So all of these things all into play.
Yeah. So that's amazing. You can still have the, like, I would say that I will still keep drinking, but just not excessively. I never drank excessively, but I think it's nice to have fun the odd time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's all about balance. And but whatever you have changed,
thank God.
I mean, maybe the, you know, vaping, that is obviously had a huge impact.
Yeah.
So that's really, really interesting.
And different people respond to things different ways. Like, you might not be someone whose body responds the way Joanne's does to a vape. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, and also even like alcohol, people metabolize alcohol very differently. You know,
I
some people
I die.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think everyone dies as the word, because I've seen people that are like, even when I'm away with the girls, like, I can't do 2 days drinking. I just can't do it because I just die so bad. Yeah. And I always thought it was because I wasn't drinking enough.
No, but if your body is having to work harder to metabolize alcohol, ultimately alcohol is a poison.
Yeah.
So if your body's having to work hard to get rid of it, mm-hmm. then that's the point at which it's shutting off all the beneficial things that it could be doing.
Yeah.
So all the repair and all the other things that it could be doing, it's like, shut that off. Let's focus on the alcohol. And it might just be that your body takes a bit longer.
It's so interesting that, isn't it?
You know what it could have been as well? Is too much exercise a year ago. Were you exercising more a year ago for any reason? I know it's difficult to imagine a year ago.
I was doing like 5Ks a day to try and, when Spenny was doing his marathon a day.
Okay.
But like, I don't think I was overdoing it too much, but I'm tired at the end of any day. At the end, like 7 o'clock, I'm like shutting down. And that's about it. But I'd say definitely I was drinking more. So like I would have been drinking like 2 or 3 times a month, and then it drags into the week, and then it's like really bad anxiety in the week. And that kind of, that's why I changed the way I was drinking, because I just thought, I can't do this every single week. It's taken up 3 of my days.
Yeah. And that's it. It might be like, oh, you don't drink very much, but it's the result that that's having on other aspects of your life. So yeah, it could be that that has really made a significant impact as well.
Yeah.
What did you think about Vogue's diet and exercise?
Yeah, I mean, when the exercise, I actually wrote down about the exercise because I thought that was quite balanced. Like, you're doing your strength training, you were running, but it's like 3K, it's not a huge amount.
Yeah.
So I did think that was quite good. That was quite balanced. It wasn't too much because, as Catherine said, we do see too much exercise, particularly endurance. Would love to know what Spencer's biological age might have been during that, because
he's a dinosaur.
That puts a huge amount of strain on the body. Having said that, men can kind of get away with it. Women, that type of exercise does seem to impact women much more severely in terms of inflammation, just because it impacts our hormones, and our hormones are really protective in women. Yeah. So, yeah.
How do you feel about this result?
I'm just like, I'm unusually happy.
25.
I don't know why. I just feel like I do try and make an effort. I have like health anxiety as well a lot. And that's why I wear an Oura ring. Like, I like to keep track of my sleep. I just like to kind of lead a healthy lifestyle. I'm obsessed with not dying really young, even though I could leave here and get hit by a bus. But like, I like that because I'm like, okay, phew. Because like, I always kind of associate like bad hearts and like my family, there's strokes and like heart attacks and stuff in my family, so like it's always a concern. So it's nice to see that I'm 25.
So you said if it was over 30 you were going to hit the pub, start vaping again. Will the result of 25 impact how you live your life?
No, I think I'm going to skip out of here, to be honest with you. I don't think I'm going to change a single thing. I just feel like that's a good age to be. Obviously, I'm quietly furious that Joanne's 20, but like, her test is obviously bullshit. I think it's, no, I do. I think it's really interesting to see the difference between like 44 to 25 from like just not boozing too much and just, it's mad. Like, I'm not a big drinker anyway, but it must be the anxiety and stuff, because I thought that my age would be really, really old because of anxiety.
Yeah. And it just shows it's flexible. Like, when we're talking about biological age, people, when it comes back higher, can get quite anxious. Like, oh my goodness. But it is something you can do something about.
I would have been hitting the beta blockers if I was 44. I would have been left here and had to have a beta blocker.
I didn't care. I was like, I'm going to get it up next time. I'm going to get even higher.
You didn't care at all. No. You see, I'm a weirdo about like, I'm too weird about sleep and all that kind of stuff. I put like pressure on myself to make sure I have good sleep. But that's amazing that you just didn't care at all. I should be more like that.
Apparently not. What you're doing works for you. My don't give a fuck attitude has got me all the way up to 77. So I think having
anxiety. Yeah, but you've got young kids. You're up at like 4 a.m. sometimes. Yeah.
How old's Otto now? 3?
3. Nearly 4.
See.
So he's not like, he wakes up at like 20 past 6 in the morning, which I'd rather it was 7, but like that's doable.
Just goes by in a blink though, doesn't it?
I know.
I think you can go away with that cake and have another one. So tempt Spencer.
I will.
You're only 25. You can do it all again.
25, I could have another 4.
Yeah.
I think once you get to 3, you might as well have 10.
I agree.
Yeah.
Nicola, do you pay half in your romantic relationships?
No, I don't have a romantic relationship, so I just pay it all.
Oh, you've got to pay it all. That's worse.
Pay it all.
That's worse.
But you have freedom.
I have freedom. I have stopped at one daughter.
And you're so young. Free. 20.
You're only 20, so you've got your whole 20. Life ahead of you to fuck that up.
Oh, my God. Joyce.
Well, on that note, Vogue Williams, thank you for being a guest on What's Mage Again.
Thank you so much.
You
Congratulations on your wonderful result.
Yes.
That was Vogue Williams on What's My Age Again? Biological age, 25. No one's surprised. What happened the last time with the 44? I don't even believe that. I think maybe she just gave us her blood twice by accident. And they like doubled it up because that young woman doesn't look a day over 25. If you enjoyed listening to that and feeling inferior, you can listen to more episodes, some that might make you feel young. And you can like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. To What's My Age Again.
This was a Rayo Original Podcast. Rayo.